And I pray that each and every individual in here has laid every burden down. But not only that you've laid every burden down, you didn't take the time to pick it back up when you walked away from the altar. See, there's a certain confidence and trust that God wants us to have in Him. To know in and of ourselves there's an insufficiency, an inadequacy. We're not good enough. We're not strong enough. We're not big enough. Our confidence, God wants us to put our confidence and our trust in Him. Blessed is he that trusteth in the Lord. Blessed is he that trusteth in the Lord. That's what the scripture says. What does trust mean to us, though? How much do we have to let go of it? How much confidence? I think about children when they're young. My son, I'll set him up on top of something, stand him up. He'll say, "Back up, Daddy, back up. Back up, Daddy." And he won't look at me whether or not I'm ready for him or not. He'll just jump. He doesn't know that there's the possibility that I could drop him. He just has confidence that I'm going to catch him. His confidence hasn't been crushed. He hasn't been dropped yet. He hasn't seen failure, so he doesn't understand that. So he just jumps. And I have to catch him, or he's going to get hurt. God likes that childlike faith. He likes when we come to Him and tell Him, "Back up, back up." And then just jump, expecting that He's looking when you jump. Expecting that He's watching after you, that He doesn't want to see you fail. That He doesn't want to see you hurt. That He doesn't want to see you in trouble, broken, shattered, dreams, hurt, everything. Tattered up, body injured, destroyed and broken down. He wants to see you strong, well nourished, plenteous. He wants to see you prospering. He wants to see you going forth in the strength that He has ordained you to go forth in. You know, the God that we serve is a mighty, mighty God. A mighty, mighty God. I was in my meditations, I was reading in Psalms verse 50, and I'm just going to read verse 1 for a second, if you would, Dana. I want you guys to take a look at what this scripture says. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. That's the God whom we serve. That's the God that we believe in. The very God that spoke everything that we see into existence. The very God that created the heavens and the earth. The very God that when you sit out on a nice clear night and look out at all of those stars that are cast out there, He created and ordained them and set them in their places. He set the bands of the earth that the water would only go so far. I'm reminded of what a mighty God we serve when I think about these things. And how limited we make Him to be. How we bring Him down to our scope of intelligence. How we bring Him down to our scope of understanding. How we minimize Him and make Him one of us. Allowing Him to be Him.
The God that we serve... Every once in a while, they like to act up. You got me, Mike? Every once in a while, they like to act up.
We're just going to go with it, though. Amen? Because there's a lot of things that we need to talk about. We have a short time every time we get together here. Sunday mornings, we get together, we gather. I'm going to take Ray's mic next. We're going to try.
Check one. Check one. Bless your name, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. One of these is going to work right. We got plenty to choose from if we got to keep going down the line. one thing about it, we're going to press on. You know, that, and the enemy wants to do everything that he can to get us to slow our roll. Oh, put the brakes on. Where are you going so fast? Take your time. Why do you got to give everything up? Why do you just got to quit completely? Why do you really want to seek deliverance now? I mean, you've been doing it all your life. Why can't you just be the person that you've been all your days? Why do you got to sacrifice your life now? Why do you got to give it up? Well, who is Jesus? Who is this Jesus? How much does he really care about you? When you're talking to him, does he talk to you? When you're going through the pain, is he really comforting you, or is that just a figment of your imagination? We serve a mighty God. A mighty God. I'm reminded, when I think about how mighty he is, if we could just, you could just scroll through the book. In the beginning of Genesis, obviously we look at all of creation, and if that's not enough, we look at man. Look at man whom he created from the dust of the earth. He formed us. Look at man. Look at the complexity of man. We get so comfortable looking at one another and not realizing how intricate you are as an individual. Obviously, there's great detail to each and every individual. David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am. I don't know if you feel like that, but I am. I feel the same way David felt. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God made me in his likeness and in his image. He created me with purpose. He created me with intention. He got plans for me, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring me unto an expected end. I serve a mighty God. I was in the depths of sin, as Jeremiah would exclaim his circumstance of being in bondage. He was deep in the miry clay. I was in the miry clay of sin, well over my head. Led me all the way to have to go to jail for a good long time. To some people, it's a long time. To other people that I came around while I was in that circumstance, it was but a blink of an eye to their circumstances and their time. The depths of sin had buried me. They had destroyed me. They had made me. I had fears inside of me. I had condemnation inside of me. I had all these wicked thoughts running through me. I had addictions of drugs and alcohol. I had problems that made me feel like I was worthless. That made me feel like my life wasn't going to amount to anything. And then I met Jesus. Amen. And then I met Jesus. Amen. You see, I'm minded of the God that we serve that, you know, when Abraham had his first son, whom he wasn't able to have, somebody was barren, whether it be Abraham or Sarah, right? But somebody couldn't have children. And then God spoke life into the womb. And Sarah conceived a child. And then at a point in time, God requested that child's life. And asked Abraham to take it up in sacrifice. You know, that which means everything to you, are you willing to give it up? And Abraham, as hurt as it was, and think, his son was about a teenager. He was about 12, 13 years old. And as he's walking up there, his son was well aware that something was missing. The sacrifice. But can I tell you, we serve such a mighty God that in the place of where Abraham thought he was going to have to sacrifice his son, God had a ram in the bush. He provided. He's a God that provides, and that's what Abraham called him, the Lord my provider. He's a God that provides. He provided the sacrifice for our sins. He provided for that which we could not provide for ourselves. We don't have the capability all the time to provide for ourselves, and there's a lot of times where we have need. And we're wondering where it's going to come from. Your God owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills. He is able to supply, according to his riches and glory, everything that you have possible need of. If you need it, he has it. He has it in store for you. He wants us to know that and believe that and have confidence in that. God is not a God who is stuck in poverty. And you know what? We who experience poverty do not have to subject ourselves to the circumstances that revolve around poverty. Because there's a lot of people that are in poverty that do a lot of complaining and a lot of murmuring and have a lot of woes and have a lot of troubles and wind up bound by that poverty. But God has called us to be free. And God has called us to a newness of life. And God is able to provide. I'm reminded of a man by the name of Joseph. Think about Joseph. Joseph was a shepherd boy in the land of Egypt when he got sold by his brethren. Shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. He became the second highest in the kingdom. Sometimes we think of our self-worth when we look at ourselves and we look at our circumstances. I remember looking at my job wondering, are they going to hire somebody like me, a felon? What about my history? What about my past?
And in most circumstances, that's very true, isn't it? That they're going to look at me by what's on paper, and they're going to decide, and they're going to say, you know what, you don't qualify. Before they even hear my voice, you don't qualify. But I come to tell you that we serve a mighty God today. And that it doesn't matter how man feels about you. Because the Bible says God holds the king's heart in his hand, and like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. God is the one that directed the rivers of water to flow where they do. God holds the king's hand in his heart. He's able to make these decisions for the man. And can I tell you that Joseph was exalted to the second in command? Only one higher than him in Egypt was Pharaoh, and his people were supposed to be an abomination to the Egyptians. What does that tell you? What does that tell you? See, the Bible, God told Abraham, all things are possible to those that believe. If you're willing to believe. And this is the question that God's asking us today. Are we willing to believe? I'm reminded of a God who had let out 600,000 men, footmen, out of Egypt, not including women and children. So let's give well over 1 million people unto a place where the enemy was behind them and the water was in front of them. I'm reminded of this God who told Moses to set his staff into the water and the waters parted. We serve a mighty God. Is that folklore? Is that fake? Has our God changed? My Bible says that I am the Lord that changeth not. I am the Lord that changeth not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Our God has not changed. None. Who is changing? How come we're not letting God be who he wants to be in our lives? How come we only give him so much room? How come we're not willing to yield our all? How come, what do we have that's hanging us up and holding us back? How come we're stopping short of giving God all the glory? How come we're still keeping some for ourselves? How come we're still in the way? What are we doing? What are we trying to do with our lives? Many a times I have tried to do the things that I wanted to do my way. Ray was just singing a song. Many a times I've tried to do it my way. Many a times I've gone in my own path. How many times must we fail before we realize that God is going to be the answer? How many times? What's it going to take? I'm reminded of a God who split the sea, who made his enemies, Israel's enemies, their footstool, who put them under his feet. They came in. They chased after. They were consumed in the water. They were left behind. God took his people and he led them through. I'm reminded of a God who fed his, who prepared a table in the midst of the wilderness, gave them manna from heaven, who gave them water out of a flint rock. I'm reminded of this God. I'm reminded of a God who took Joshua and Caleb, who were of a different spirit, mind you. Who were people who had a zeal for the Lord. Who were people who had great hunger and great thirst. Who believed God at his word. The God, if he said it, I know it's true. God said, my word has gone out of my mouth and this shall not return unto me void. Joshua and Caleb said, I believe that. Joshua said that they are but food for us. He said, what are you talking about? These Philistines, these giants, these Canaanites, these people in this land. What are you talking about? Why are you guys being so discouraged? Why are you guys not willing to go in after God had said that he would give us the land? If God favors us, then what can they do to us? The Bible says, my Bible says, and your Bible says that if God be for you, who can be against you? Why do we look so weak and so beggarly? Why do we fail at everything that brings a fear up into our heart? Why do we hold such fear? The Bible says fear has torment, and the Bible also tells me that God did not give me the spirit of fear. So that means that that's not of God. But God gave me the spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. These are the things that God instilled inside me. These are the things that accompany his spirit, his power, and his presence. God did not give me the spirit of fear that I need worry at every turn, that I need be concerned at every circumstance that seems to fail. Because out of failure, God can bring victory. Think about your life. It took you to fail in order to you obtain the victory of salvation. Except an individual recognizes that he's a sinner, which means he's a failure, he can't be saved. The Bible says that we have to repent. Think about the God that we serve. Think about what he did in Joshua's life. But think about something that he told Joshua also. Something again in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7, I believe it is. Verse 6. You got it up here. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all my law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. A focus on the word. A focus on giving our lives unto the word, to allowing the word to have the authority in our lives, to allow the word to mold us and shape us, that God might be God and prosper us. Well, God, there's giants in the land. I know there's giants in the land that I'm sending you into. Would I send you in there and not be prepared to fight the giants for you? Would I not be prepared to give you the victory? Did I send you in there blindly? Does it matter what you don't know is on the other side? No, because I do know what's on the other side, saith the Lord. I do know what's on the other side when you're taking that step, when you're taking that leap of faith. I do know what's on the other side when you begin to trust in the Lord. What is he capable of doing? Joshua subdued, I can't remember the exact number right now, it's like 26 kings he subdued. 26 kings Joshua subdued. Who was Joshua? Caleb at 85 years old was willing to go and take a mountain. He was of a different spirit. Caleb said, there's no retiring. I don't care what these young punks think about me. I'm going to show them how it's done. That might be a little too strong for some folks. These young whippersnappers, how about that one? These young whippersnappers, who do they think they are? I'm going to press on. I'm going to show them. I'm going to lead, and I'm going to be a leader unto them so that I could train up the children underneath me in the way that they should go, so that they might have an example and might have an understanding. Listen, I believe that we're too complacent, church. I believe that we're too comfortable with everyday normal church. I believe that our God wants to do great and mighty works inside of us. You know, let me tell you, go to the book of Matthew chapter 12, the latter portion of it. Almost all the way to the end. Matthew chapter 12, the last few verses. Thirteen, starting at 53. Is that all of it? And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joses and Simon and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of... What was stopping God from doing? What was stopping Christ from doing what he wanted to do in each and every other city that he went into? The Bible says, I believe it's in chapter 8, and he went forth healing all that were sick and diseased. He was laying hands on the sick. They were recovering all over the place. And he was telling men and brethren, what was he telling them? According to thy faith, be it so. According to thy faith, be it so. What do we believe about our God today? How big is your God that you serve? Or how little is the God that you serve? The Bible says that the children of Israel, it said, they limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited. We're limited. The Bible tells me this. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. That's your faith. If you got small faith, what does that mean to it? You're going to get small victories, small rewards. You're going to pursue with a small vision and a small idea, and that's all you're going to be able to accomplish. God wants us to have this great and broad. God wants to instill his vision inside of us. God said, "If you lift me up, I will draw all men unto me." Speaking about Christ. If we lift him up, all men would be drawn unto him. The objective is to win souls for the kingdom of the Most High God. The objective is to bring Christ. See, what was convincing a lot of these people? Think about the woman at the well. What about the woman at the well? Jesus is talking to this woman and he just began to expose all of her life. The Holy Ghost was just ministering right through him. Began to expose all of her life. And what did she do with that? She, whoa, I perceive you must be a prophet. And then he began to expound a little bit more. And then she believed that he was the Messiah. And she went and she told all her town. She took that. She took that experience. That experience was enough inside of her to say, I need to tell somebody else about this. What is your experience telling you? Is your experience that dry that it's not enough to tell anybody about? How about the demoniac? Well, think about his. Well, look at his testimony. To whom will be forgiven much will love much. You know, and that woman had been with five husbands, and the one that she wasn't with, or was with, wasn't her husband. The demoniac had the demons called themselves legion, which means like thousands. He had these great demons, and I'm reminded of the God who came unto this demoniac and cast those demons out. I'm reminded of the God of power that we serve, who cast those thousands of demons. The Bible says one will send 1,000 to flight, and two will send 10,000 to flight. And I'm reminded that the body is failing in its unity. And because I'm also thinking about a time in the book of Acts where the Bible says that they were of one soul. The church was of one soul. That means that they walk together, they talk together, they have fellowship one with another, they encourage one another. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. And we don't got time for anybody but ourselves. We don't got time for anything but what we want to do. Our agenda is lined up by our own idea. Where's the sacrifice? Sacrifices hurt. Does anybody realize? Sacrifices aren't good. Sacrifices are like, I got to cut something off that I don't want to cut off. That's a sacrifice. That's like fasting. Think about it. When you fast, you get hungry and the body's like, what's this all about? Why are you doing this to me? But you're sacrificing your own to be drawn closer unto God so that you can go in prayer and so that you can meditate on the things that God would have you to understand and so that you can gain wisdom and revelation or so that you can feed somebody else that needs it more greater than you or so that you can have breakthroughs so that you can intercede for people who have need of salvation and the touch of God upon their lives. So that you can be strengthened in the Spirit, so that you can go forth and believe that in the confidence that God dwells inside of you. And so if God dwells inside of you, and Christ Himself said, the things that I do, you shall do greater. Greater than these things that He does, than Jesus does. And I was reminded on Wednesday that we're not even doing the things that Jesus does. So what does that mean to do greater things? Where's the church? What are we doing? I'm thinking about this. Who is the God that we serve? Is this God that we serve? Is this the God? Is this the same God that I read about in the Bible? The one that we're serving? Is this the same God? You know, I was thinking about Samson. And Samson's image is clouded by Superman and Spider-Man and Iron Man and all these others. He's clouded. But the messed up part about it is that Samson was real. Oh, I received that by faith because the Word of God says he was real. And the Word of God says that he pulled the pillars of a stadium down, of a coliseum, so to speak. He pulled them down on the Philistines, even in his ladder with his strength. He was a man of great strength, supernatural. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, that you are a people of great strength, supernatural, if you believe in the God of heaven and earth. Because, obviously, the things that do we do them in our own name? Is the power in your name? Can Dana go out and in Dana's name cast out the devil? I wot that she not do that. There were the seven sons of Sceva that tried to do it in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth, because they didn't know Jesus neither. And the demons looked at them and said, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are? You better know Jesus for yourself. And if you do know Jesus, then you also know that you have power. You have strength. The Bible closes in the book of Matthew and says, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. And He just happens to be the head of this body. What are we doing? What God do we believe in? I'm thinking about something that Elisha said. Elisha watched Elijah. He was his
his student, his disciple. And he followed, Elisha followed Elijah everywhere he went. And when Elijah was leaving, the Lord was prepared to take him out of the way. They were aware. God has spoken unto Elijah, and God has spoken unto the prophets around him. They're getting ready to take your master. I know. Hold your peace. Be quiet. And Elijah kept trying to dump Elisha off. And wait here. I'm going to go over here. Elisha said, nope. I'm coming with you. I'm following you. I know the Lord's about to do something mighty. Nope, I'm coming with you. You're going to go, and then I'm never going to see you again, and I'm going to have questions about what happened to you. Nope, I'm coming. I'm coming, because I believe the word of the Lord has spoken this. I'm coming. He went to another city. He said, wait here. He said, nope, I'm coming. Finally, Elisha asked. Elijah said, What would you have done unto you? He said that if I see you leave, that I would receive a double portion of your anointing. Amen. Elijah said, that's a hard thing. But if you see, may God grant it. He watched the chariot of fire come and take him up. He knew what was. He didn't yet have, but he knew what was. Elisha was waiting on the God of heaven and earth to make sure that his spirit continued to reign supreme, that his works were still continually being done. He was seeking for the anointing to follow, for the Holy Ghost to continue his work upon the earth. And that's a question that we have to ask ourselves on whether or not we are seeking for the Holy Ghost to continue his work on earth. Are we seeking as to be hungry, as to be desirous of God's work to be done on earth? Because if our God changes, and if we don't have the same opportunity is those from past that they had the opportunity. What does that make God? If God isn't offering unto us the same that he had offered unto them, then what does that make God? Does that make him respecting of persons, of people? Or is it based on us? Or are we just hindering God by our doubt and unbelief? You read the scriptures. He couldn't do many things in this city because of why? In 2 Kings chapter 2, in verse 12, we're going right into, we'll start at 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold on his own clothes, and rent them in two pieces. He took up also his mantle of Elijah that fell on him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. He immediately grabbed the mantle. He put it on him, went right to the bank of Jordan. Look what he said. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We should be asking ourselves the same question. Only we don't have to seek for the Lord God of Elijah. We have to seek for the Lord God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who did these great and mighty works through Christ? Who did these? I'm reminded that it didn't stop with Jesus. When Jesus went up and sat with the Father, I'm reminded that the apostles carried on the ministry. You should be reminded, if you read the book of Acts, that the power did not stop with Jesus. But rather they waited in an upper room from on high, and God sent his Holy Ghost, and they were endued with power, and they went forth to preach the gospel into all the world. Do you guys remember the commitment and the commandment that was given unto them at the close of the book of Mark? Go to the last verses of Mark 16, right? Because I want you to see something. They were given instructions that were almost impossible to them. Think about the days by which they lived by. These were not very wealthy folks. They didn't have the chariots of kings. They might have had a horse. They might have had a camel. You know, how they got around was very small scaled in comparison to us today, where we have planes and jets and all kinds of automobiles and trains. We have the ability to get anywhere and everywhere in a matter of short time these days. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. This was his commandment to them as he was going. Preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I want to show you something in the book of Colossians, howsoever you might pronounce the name. Tomato, tomato. Take your pick.
chapter 1 of the book of Colossians, verse 6. Verse 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world. As it is in all the world. Chapter 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. They took the commandment and they took the responsibility that was given unto them and they walked with it. Did they fulfill it in their own strength? No. Were they able to accomplish the task that was given unto them? Yes. Why? Because God not only gave them the task, but He equipped them with the ability to do so. This is the same God that we serve today, church. This is the same God that we serve today. Are we supposed to have all these hang-ups? Are we supposed to be so struck and so stranded? And are we supposed to be so independent of ourselves? The independence of our faith is hurting us too. Everybody wants to have their own independence in the faith. We're called to be a body. We operate and function together. We work together. Just like a husband and a wife. You know, I'm very fortunate and very thankful for my wife. As I was in here, my wife was walking the pews and she was praying. And I know she was praying for all of you and she was praying for me. When I was sitting up here kneeling before the Lord, she was praying with me. She was by my side fighting this good fight of faith because we have mountains that we have to climb. All of us have mountains we have to climb. There are mountains before us. But what did Christ say to them? If ye have faith of a mustard seed, you shall speak unto this mountain, you shall tell it, be thou removed, and it shall be moved, if you doubt not. That's the Word of God. What will you do with the Word of God today? What will you do with the Word of God today? What is the vision that God has given you? The ministry seems too big. It seems unaccomplishable. The ministry for 12 apostles seemed entirely too big to cover the great spans of the earth with the gospel, but it covered it. The scriptures tell me that it covered it. They covered it. That was an impossibility. How many impossibilities do you have in your life right now? Or that seem to be? How many mountains? How many roadways that seem to have dead end? How many things that seem to be not fruitful? God is able to make a desert place into a fruitful land. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We're thinking of all these things, gathering all these thoughts. I'm encouraging you today, right now. He's a God who commands deliverances for His people. We don't have to stay bound. We don't have to stay injured. We don't have to stay hurt. We don't have to stay broken. Two things that hinder God. Doubt. And unforgiveness. Two things that hinder God from doing things in your life that He wants to do. You know, God healed a lot of people before they ever received forgiveness. He would heal them. They would just come unto Him, respecting Him as Lord and crying out unto Him, Lord, if Thou will, I will be Thou whole. He didn't tell them, repent of your sins, be washed. He didn't tell them any of that. But He expected them to understand who God was and respect and walk in. The first message that Christ came off onto the scene was, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It is expected of God that we repent and that we acknowledge Him as God. It is expected of God that we receive Him as our Savior. But God reigns on the just and the unjust. Even while we were out there in the world, God kept us sometimes. I have many circumstances that I could testify to you of in my life that God kept me. I know He had to have kept me for a time like this. Which at the time when I was going through it, I saw failure. I saw weakness. I saw struggle. I saw fears. I was bound by the devil. But hey, hallelujah, I'm free. Today I'm free. And not only am I free, but I expect God to function in my life like He did in their lives. I don't expect to read this book as something fictitious, as something that I pulled out of the library that started telling me about a man who got bit by a spider and then he started climbing walls. I'm not going to treat this book like that book. I believe this is the infallible Word of God. I believe that God cannot lie. And I believe that His Word won't return unto Him void because I won't let it. Because I'm going to call Him at His Word. And I believe God expects you to do the same thing. Because that's going to be your confidence. That's going to be your trust. That's going to be what makes you your worth. What confidence you put in the Word of God. What place the Word of God has in you. Isaiah 66. We're getting ready to close. But this message should never close. 66, 1 and 2. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Where is the house that ye build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Let us have grace whereby we may serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We've lost fear. We've grown content. We like everyday church. We're okay with just being laymen, sitting in the pews, not having to preach the gospel, not having to testify to nobody, not tell anybody. We are bound when we are like that. We are bound up inside and we are not free in Christ. God wants us to be free in Christ. God wants us to be open. God wants us to be able to go forth and do the things which he has done and greater works because he is in the Father's hands. Seated at the right hand, ever to make intercession for us. You think Christ doesn't know? We have a high priest that has been felt with all of our infirmities, yet without sin. He knows how to overcome, and he knows how to give you the ability to overcome too. The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times and get back up. He's not worried about your failure. He's worried about you being persistent in your heart, persistent in spirit, and getting back up. God wants you in victory. God has called us to victory. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. That means no ailment will hold me down. Paul said, though he be bound, in the book of Philippians, I believe it's chapter 2, though he be bound, the word of God is not bound. I don't care what my circumstances are. I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to share with people. I'm going to tell people and give people the opportunity to come to the repentance, come to the forgiveness of sins, to experience the power of God, to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free, and to experience all of glory. God's intention for every one of us, and not just every one of us, but all those that are outside of these walls. I said this before, this is the pep talk. Most of you hear these things, but you need to be moved by it. You can't just hear it, you need to be moved by it. Moved to do something. Moved to get up. Moved to... I remember hearing these words. I remember being on the other end of these words, and I remember these things resonating in my mind when I would leave. And I said, God, I want to do more, I don't know how. And God said, be diligent. I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Be diligent. Pursue. Be hungry. Be thirsty. And God giving me these encouragements and I give them unto you. Be hungry. Be thirsty. Be diligent. Pursue. Let the will of God be done in your life. Let the will of God be done in the midst of us in the church. Let his power reign supreme. You know, don't be content with somebody. You know, we've grown so comfortable with the doctor just labeling a sickness and saying, well, that he's got the flu. I don't care what he's got. In the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke this spirit of infirmity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, he's going to be blind. The doctor said he's going to be blind for the rest of his life. No, I don't receive that. Let God be true and every man a liar. My God commands deliverances for his people. My God says, I am the Lord. God told the children of Israel specifically, I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's the same God that we serve. He is the Lord that healeth you. Bore your infirmities. Took your sicknesses. By his stripes you all were going to be. Put it all together. It's all classified in the word of the Most High God. He is both past, present, and yet to come. Our God is coming for a church without spot and wrinkle. Our God is coming for a church who is on fire. He's not coming for a church who is lukewarm. Remember? You guys know what he's going to do to the lukewarm church. Don't be content with being lukewarm. That's unacceptable in God's sight. If he's going to spew you out of his mouth, he is not going to welcome you in his kingdom. Don't be content. Don't be content with such things as you have. For godliness. The Bible says be content with such things as you have because he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. But that doesn't mean to be content and rest in where you are. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being content in your material possessions. Yeah, I don't have a whole lot, but that's okay. I got God. I got God, and he's going to supply it. But David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread. He's going to make sure that I'm okay. I don't have much money. I can't spend a whole lot of money. There are certain things that I can't do. I was going to say something funny, Chris, but I ain't going to say it. There's certain things that I can't do, but you know what? He know I didn't have to say it. But you know what? I got God. I got forgiveness. I got the blood of Jesus Christ, the most valuable possession. I got the Holy Ghost living inside of me, the earnest of my inheritance. And I'm not going to bind the Holy Ghost up. Holy Ghost, you can't do that. No, don't talk to them. Holy Ghost, I want you to have your way in and through me. If you call me to lay hands on the sick, you said that if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You said that, God. I'm calling your word upon it. I speak faith in the name of Jesus Christ to all my brothers and sisters to do the same, to be committed, to allow that fire to be stirred up inside of you. Play something, anything, whatever you feel led. But praise the Lord. And I'm asking her to play because I want you to focus for a minute. At the close of service, I want you guys to focus for a minute. Are you going to be content? Is it okay where you're at? If you're okay with where you're at, then I can't do nothing for you. And I don't think, God probably can't do much more for you neither. He can, but if we only let Him go as far. See, that's the will of it all. God has given you a free will. Do you want something from the Lord? Are you willing to believe Him for something fresh and new today? You can come up and we can pray for you. If you don't want us to pray for you, you just want to come up to the altar, come up to the altar. But believe God. Believe God for it today. You know, there's callings on people's lives and they're not too big for you. They're not too big for you. They might seem big. They might seem big, Akim. They might seem, but they're not too big. Great and mighty things our God is able to do through us. And He's going to do them. If we yield unto Him, if we give ourselves over unto Him, He's going to do them. You know, there's a lot of time sometimes. There's a span in time that we have to wait. Sometimes we got to be patient. Sometimes we got to be molded and shaped. And that hurts when we're being molded and shaped because God is removing things that are unlike Him. So that we can be refined and reflect the image of the living God. But you know what? When you just yield and give yourself over unto it, great is the reward. Great is the reward. I'm asking anybody to the altar that would. Anybody that needs anything to the altar that would. Anybody who wants to believe God for great things who would. Come to the altar. Believe God for it today. If you want prayed for, if you want us to lay hands on you, the Bible tells us, call for the elders of the church. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Whatsoever it might be, go to the altar. Anybody who's here, Kenny, Emeka. Praise the Lord. We're going to believe God for great and mighty things. We're not going to hold God short and shy of what He wants to do. We're going to let God be God. Hallelujah. Just pray. Just cry out unto Him. Just give it unto Him. Believe, because guess what? We're going to lay hands on those who want specific intercession. But for you who are just praying unto God, you know the God of heaven and earth, and He's able to do whatever soever. He is not. Don't put Him in a box. Let Him have His way. Let Him have His way. Hallelujah. Let Him have His way.